It's what you all been waiting for. Turn on with Tina.
The segment with the beautiful Tina P from Crusher Magazine.
Hey, all you fellow rockers out there. Welcome to Turn On with Tina, and this is Tina. Tonight's show is going to be an excellent segment. I've got guitar virtuoso Michael Wilton of Queensryche on the show tonight. Queensryche, as you know, is a band that formed in 1981, Michael being an original founding member of that band. And Queensryche has sold over 20 million albums worldwide, including over 11 million albums and videos in the United States alone. On tonight's show, Michael will be talking to me about a variety of different topics, including the new album, American Soldier. It's due out in stores today. You need to grab yourself a copy of this. This is an unbelievable album. The lead-off track, If I Were King, will be played after our interview. This is the extended version that you'll hear Michael discuss with me in some detail. I was really excited to have the opportunity to talk to Michael. He's a great guy, very cool dude, and was a lot of fun to interview. So without wasting time, let's go right into the interview featuring Michael Wilton from Queensryche on Turned On with Tina.
First of all, thanks for taking the time to speak with me, and I wanted to talk to you about a few things today. Queensryche, the new album, American Soldier, as well as other projects you're involved in, including Soulbender, and a solo project you're kind of involved in as well. So we'll get to all that. Wanted to start with Queensryche and the new album. It's available in stores this month on March 31st. This is a concept album similar to 1988's Operation Mindcrime. What prompted the band to write a conceptual album, and especially the subject matter, which is about American soldiers in the line of duty?
Well, we noticed throughout our years of touring that a majority of the fans that we've talked to are in the military, and we've built up a relationship with them. And basically the idea was handed and sown in Jeff Tate's mind about doing a conceptual album based on the stories of people in the military and soldiers, you know, to make it not a biased thing, but more of just this is what they're saying and their stories. So that was kind of pitched to the band, and we said, hey, another conceptual album, that's great, you know. We're having a good track record with those. And so thus we began back in April of last year putting everything together, and it all kind of fell into place. And as you said, it's coming out March 31st, and we're really pleased and really happy to get out and tour and promote the album.
I love the first single, If I Were King. What was the decision behind using that particular song as the lead-off single?
Well, there are a number of reasons for using If I Were King for the single. I think one thing is it's definitely got that big chorus hook that tends to grab people who are not really concentrating and are listening. But also it's just kind of a song that it's not too fast, not too slow, and it just kind of related well to other people. Other people meaning the our record company people and seeing their reaction. And what's great is, you know, there's two versions that are out on the radio right now. One has the long intro with kind of the sad story of the soldier losing his best friend. But and so a lot of radio stations are just playing that.
Really?
That's really blowing our minds. And then, you know, obviously the one where right when the music starts, that's the other version. So it's really doing well at radio, and I wasn't sure about that being the first single, but actually it's done really well.
So why does it blow your mind that they're playing the part with the soldier talking about the death of his fellow friend and soldier? Why are you surprised that radios would play that?
For one thing, it's like an extra minute and a minute and a half on the song, but also it's just it's really a mood grabber. Kind of it's takes you from where you're at into this kind of a somber place, and I just thought, whoa, this is is this going to get everybody all heavy or what? You know, it's that's all I thought. I thought, oh, well.
But it's working.
It is.
Yeah. And the video for that was shot in Seattle. Aside from some weather issues while filming, are you happy with the outcome of the video?
Sure. I mean, it was done rather quickly, and you know, I shot my parts up in the mountains, and I got to tell you, it was freaking cold. It was raining, but yeah, it went well. Everybody kind of had their own outdoor experience being filmed, and I know Jeff was filmed when he was in New York doing press. I imagine he was freezing his balls off too. So.
Well, the video, it actually looks cold. You guys look like you're not, you know, in a balmy temperature kind of thing filming that, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. It gives you that outdoor kind of gray sky Seattle vibe. We like that.
Yeah, well, you guys are all from Seattle, are you not?
Yeah, we all live here. Yeah. We're from different parts originally, but we all live here and have grown to love this place, to love these periods of time where you never see blue sky, and it's just kind of a damp, cold feeling, and it's just wet all the time. It's conducive to the material that we write.
Yeah, it's kind of dark and a little bit sad, a little bit depressing.
Yeah, we actually cheer for ourselves when we see the sky, patch of blue sky.
Yeah, no kidding. I totally understand about the lack of sun. When it comes out, you really appreciate it.
That's true.
Yeah. And the band starts touring for American Soldier next month, April 16th, correct?
Yeah, the American Soldier tour starts April 16th.
Right.
It actually starts in Seattle, Washington. And then we go for 8 weeks, and I think then we head to Europe, and then other parts of the world, and then I think back to the States again. So.
Right. I was going to ask you that, if you thought maybe the band might make it back to Central America, maybe even Canada at some point.
Yeah, I know that we're negotiating dates in Canada, a couple weeks in Canada, and I know we're negotiating some time in South America and Australia and Japan as well.
Excellent. So how long do you anticipate touring for the album?
As long as we possibly can.
Really, eh? Are there any festivals the band's involved with this year that you know of?
Yeah, but the ones that we're playing on are in Europe. I know there's one in Italy called the Hell Fest or Bloody Hell Fest, a bunch of hell metal tour festivals over in Europe. So I know we're playing on three or four over there.
Right on. Is it true that all of the guitar tracks on the album were recorded by you?
Yes, it is.
What prompted that decision?
Well, basically, it was an idea. You know, it's because you know, the last record, people wanted to hear more of the original guitar sound. And you know, what I said to Jeff, I go, "Dude, I'll do all the guitars." And he goes, "Are you up for the task?" And I said, "Yeah." And it was an arduous task, but I did it in kind of the Queensryche fashion, like we did in the old days, where it's overlaying tons of different guitar parts and textures, and you know, basically really giving as much depth and dimension to that sonic area as possible. So I basically just took everything and just overplayed it and just came out with so much material. And you know, a good part of it, you know, probably you won't hear, but it's just it's in there, and it's refreshing for me, obviously, because of me, but it gives the music, you know, that three-dimensional depth.
Right. Well, how does that cross over when you're in a live show and you're not really able to do that in overlay tracks? And so how do you transfer that? I'm just curious.
Well, you basically it's trial and error, and you see what works. But, you know, the majority is you want to get the root basic chord structure and then the most prominent melodic structures that are happening in the song. And you just go from there.
Besides If I Were King, do you have a personal favorite off the new album? And if so, which one and why?
I have to say my favorite song off the album is At 30,000 Feet. And the reason being is that that song just goes through so many different sonic soundscapes for me. It kind of starts out with this really grandiose Queensryche, clean guitar intro. And then it goes into kind of a Mindcrime-ish heavy chorus, kind of like an Eyes of a Stranger-ish kind of a vibe for me. And then out of that, then it kind of transcends into this double solo that I wrote that's very reminiscent of Rage for Order, like the song Le Regal. It kind of popped into my mind. And then it just the big ending, and then back to a subtle, clean guitar outro. It was definitely the most challenging one for me to play, but also the most rewarding.
With the advent of computers and Pro Tools, has the writing and recording process changed for the band at all over the years?
I think so. I think it's with Pro Tools and computer recording, it's more efficient. And the internet, MP3s and emailing, ideas to everybody. Everybody's kind of electronically connected. So the communication can be long distance, which is nice. But you get more done in the aspect of, a time frame.
Right.
The disadvantages, though, is that, it's not like the old days when we wrote the songs together in a room. And the other thing is that, you can record a take and record another one so fast that there's no moment of reflection, to sit back, think for 3 seconds, and then go back and record. It's just like it's, every second you have to lay down a new track. So those are the disadvantages of it.
Do you miss jamming and getting together with bandmates like you used to before the computer age, or do you prefer the way things are now?
Oh, I long for those days, when you just get together and jam. And I have some other musician friends that I do that with, every once in a while, I'll pop in as a guest spot on a band playing live in Seattle, in a club. That's always fun, and it's really, it's exhilarating. It's so much fun. It's just the unexpected.
Right. The spontaneous.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I did with my side project, Soulbender. We wrote the songs together in a room and just really with really loud amplifiers and just kind of jammed and experimented, and that's how the songs came together. And that was kind of refreshing for me.
I bet. Well, I was curious to know not only how you got involved with that project, but also why, because it's not like you're not busy enough.
Yeah, well, it was strange. When I originally started that, Queensryche was kind of, taking breaks here and there, so that gave me ample time to put together a Soulbender record, and with a couple of my local buddies and some guys up in Vancouver, we put something together and released it, and we started selling it on the internet, and we started doing live shows on the West Coast, and it actually picked up quite a lot from us. And then the advent of MySpace and everything, we started getting requests all over the world that wanted the band to play, and then, things happened as they are, and we had some problems with a couple of the guys, and then Queensryche took off again.
Right. So how does it differ being in Soulbender than, say, being in Queensryche for you, personally?
Well, Queensryche is such a multimedia presentation. Everything is very precise and tight and very just, on the spot. Soulbender is more of a, hey guys, let's just play this song, and it's kind of more of a relaxed feel, but heavy, and it's more of a, there's more chances, there's more risk-taking, I think, and it's just a whole different animal, basically.
You feel like you just have a little more freedom to do what you really want to do and experiment, as opposed to Queensryche having their set kind of sound that they've always been known for.
Yes, totally. I mean, I think it's healthy for me as a musician to just stretch my boundaries and get out of my box, basically.
Right.
And I think that really helps. And it's just, you know, being with other musicians and seeing how they work and you know, how they relate to you is just, it's fascinating.
Who writes most of the music? Who writes most of the songs for Soulbenders?
Well, most of the ideas were come up by me and Dave Groves, the other guitar player. And then, you know, all the lyrics were written by Nick Pollock, my singer on that CD. And, you know, it was just thrown together. It was just so fun. It was just, you know, we were just in this vibe and just in a room and just going, hey, try this. And there was, you know, it was no, you know, it has to be done at this moment. It has to be done, you know, this is the 11th hour and it has to be done. But that's, you know, I'm fortunate that I have, you know, the ability to, you know, and have the time that I can conjure up these ideas and, you know, and get them down on Pro Tools so I don't forget them.
Will you be doing any more tours with them, say, after the Queensryche tour has ended, or maybe try and fit some dates in between, do you think?
I would love to tour with Soulbender, but first and foremost, I want to get the next CD out. We've got about 3/4 of it written, and I have Tim Owens is actually singing on it, the Ripper.
Oh, Ripper, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, you know, we're all just a bit fragmented, and he is as well. You know, he's doing this and doing that, and he's doing a solo record, and he's, you know, he sang on 6 of my demos, and so it's just a matter of timing and trying to get it together, but I will concentrate on that.
So there's no real set date yet for when the next CD might be released for Soulbender?
Nope. It'll be done when it's ready.
Right. I hear you. Okay, I'd also like to hear about a solo project you're involved with. It's a compilation CD through Rat Pack Records that includes a variety of other artists. What can you tell me about that project and how you got involved in it?
Yeah, the owner of Rat Pack Records, Joe, he came to me and he wanted to include some solo tracks on that compilation CD, and that's how basically it got started, and now it's come to the point where he wants to do a couple solo records, and one he's doing with me, and one he's doing with Ronnie Monroe from Metal Church.
So who are the other artists on the compilation CD, besides Ronnie Monroe?
On the Rat Pack CD?
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of bands. Dave Elston from Megadeth, his band. Piggy D from Rob Zombie's on there. And then a bunch of bands I don't know.
And so
what's cool about the Rat Pack Records compilation CD is that it's free and it's just given out to different media sources. And it's an avenue for all these new bands to get their songs on. And that's kind of cool. It's kind of the independent record way, you know. Now it's the next step of getting, you know, some actual real solo albums out on it. And so that's what we're going to be working on next.
Cool. Okay, I hear you're promoting Pacific Distillery Absinthe now. So
that's right.
Okay, so can you tell me what exactly that is, and do you drink it?
Oh, yeah, I drink the stuff. It's,
what is it?
Absinthe is a drink from the greater European continent that was blacklisted and has just become legal in the United States.
Really?
A year ago, yeah.
Really? Why? Why is that, you know?
Because they're realizing the quality of it, and it doesn't, you know, all the urban legends of cutting your ear off and green fairies, that's all a bunch of hype, so.
Bunch of crap.
Yep.
So what does it taste like? Is it like a whiskey? Like, I'm trying to figure out what that is. I've never really heard of it, so I have no idea.
Oh, have you ever tried a Sambuca?
Yes. Oh, yes, and I had a Sambuca experience.
Black licorice, that anise flavor.
Yes. And so it's like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that.
Cool. So I've been trying to find out something about you, and I have been unable to get anything really concrete, but I'm curious to know why your nickname is Whip.
A long time ago when I started playing the guitar, a friend of mine named Adam Brenner, he was kind of the Eddie Van Halen clone at the time, he told me that I whipped on the guitar, you know, like played fast.
Right.
And he just started calling me that, and then everybody else started calling me that, and that's just kind of been a nickname for me since, you know, I was 18 years old, so.
Wow, I knew it was Whip. I just didn't know why.
Yeah, there's a lot of urban legends on that one as well. That's the true underlying where it came from.
I wondered if you had time to do some fun, kind of silly questions. Just to throw you off a bit, something completely different. I guarantee you nobody's asked you these things before.
Okay, and when do you want to do this?
Now.
Oh, right now? Okay.
Yeah. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
So here goes. What would be your pro wrestling name?
Master Whip.
Good one. Pretend you're 15. Name three songs you'd put on a mixtape for your girlfriend.
What's that song by Hell Yeah?
Alcohol and Ass?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one.
That's one, and then, let's see, I want to bleep you like an animal.
Oh, yeah, by Nine Inch Nails, that's a cool song, okay, third song?
Love Me Tender.
Okay, what was your favorite cartoon as a child?
Oh, favorite cartoon? Wow. Probably Hong Kong Fooey.
Hong Kong?
Fooey. He was like a karate dog.
Okay. What superpower do you wish you had?
I wish that I could manipulate time so that I could go in the future and then come back and manipulate the world.
Last question. What would the title of your autobiography be?
That's a tough one.
There you go. I like to throw people off every now and again, you know?
Yeah. It's like so many thoughts.
You're really thinking about this one, huh?
Welcome to Whip Nation.
Cool. I like it. Michael, thank you so much for being such a great sport. Is there anything else you want to talk about today, Michael? Anything you want to get out that I didn't ask you, or any messages for your fans?
No, just tell the fans, you know, thank you for the years of support, and I hope they get a chance to see the American Soldier tour. It's a multimedia event that will really be a great show.
The song and the video are kick-ass. I absolutely love it. I think you've got a real hit there myself. Definitely.
Oh, thank you very much. Just touch with Joe that we can do some more things in the future.
That would be very cool. I'd like that. It was great talking to you. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, Tia.
Okay, Michael. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. I'm a fire team leader at the time, trying to get my Marines to cover, so we can at least get out of the kill zone and be able to return fire and survive this. One of my very good friends, Paul, winds up getting shot. And he's bleeding out there, and we're trying to get him medevac, but we can't. So we're doing the best we can, but he's bleeding out and he's dying. And that was the first point for me in my young life where everything became extremely personal. I didn't think about it at the time. I didn't have time to grieve what was going on, and Paul died. And we all missed him. I missed him terribly.
I have so much more to say, my brother. Can you hear me? A fool is left to live as the brave ones fall. I swear if I were able, I would have done the same for you. But now you're gone, and I wish I
Felt like I hadn't done enough.